Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Good afternoon and good evening, and welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I'm your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 70 countries, so I want to thank you to those who are listening from wherever you are. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network Tuesday through Friday. Never miss an episode by subscribing wherever it is that you listen to shows. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts, please subscribe and never miss an episode. We also have a Facebook community where a lot of us come in and talk about the shows, the episodes. We talk with the guests that I bring on the show. And you can join Life Transformation Radio community right on Facebook. On the show, my guests are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters, and authors who are amazing people who are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. She impacts everywhere she goes. If you have any question for any of the guests during our live show, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. And with that, please help me welcome to the show my friend, Tiara Curry. Tiara, welcome to Life Transformation Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Sean.
I am super excited to have you on the show. It's been a long time coming, and it's well worth the wait.
Yes. Yes, I'm excited as well. I'm very excited to be here with you and to be doing my first podcast, so this is amazing.
Oh, yeah. So the title of this show or this episode is Fed Up, Change Up with author and speaker Tiara Curry. She is the proud business owner of Fed Up, Change Up, LLC. With hard work and dedication, this certified life coach became an author, a playwright, and an inspirational speaker. As a wife of one husband, a mother of six miniature humans, and a businesswoman serving many, her work ethics reflect the art of perseverance. No matter what obstacle courses a person embarks on, you still have to keep on moving, balance out, and finish the task at hand. Now, if juggling life's challenges and career challenges become a struggle, or if you have so much on your plate that you don't know where to get started, she is the expert you'd want to join forces with. Now, with that being said, if you're really fed up, it is now time to change up. Contact Tiara Curry at fedupchangeup.com, and her Facebook link and Instagram handles are there in the show notes. Connect with her and tell her that you heard her episode on Life Transformation Radio. So, Tiara, with that, I got to know, what is your why? Why do you do what you do?
Well, of course, everybody would say, you know, doing it for my family and to leave a legacy and all of that, which is absolutely 100% true. But my biggest why would be when I was caught up in a situation with the setup, I saw so many different people going through relationship problems, and I wanted to kind of forewarn them of the red flags in relationships. That way they wouldn't have to go through what I did. So my motto is my lesson and your blessing. So I just wanted to kind of share with people the red flags in relationships. So that is my biggest why. I don't want to see people go through the same path that I went down. So if I can say something or help them to kind of steer them in the right direction, I'll do that. I'm very transparent.
I like how you put that. Your message or their message?
My lesson, your blessing.
Blessing. Okay, there it is. I was like, wait a minute. There was something profound there. I got stuck there. I mean, I heard everything else that you said, but I mean, I got stuck there, and I was like, wait a minute. That's a big one. That's a big one. Your lesson, and then their blessing.
Exactly. My lesson, your blessing. So basically,
explain that so
that you wouldn't have to. Yeah. So basically, I went through these struggles so that you wouldn't have to.
So, I wish every teenager thought that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
You know. I'm just looking at my 16-year-old. I'm just like, oh, geez. Hey, boy, I did the same stupid stuff, so don't do that. Whatever, Dad.
Exactly.
Whatever, Dad. I'm like, son, I've been there. I've done that. I got the T-shirt. Don't do that. Oh, whatever, Dad. It's different. Ask your Nana. Ask your Nana. Because Nana will say that it's not any different. And Nana will attack me for not teaching you.
Exactly. It's not different. It's the same stuff, just the new year, presented in different ways. But it's really the same core.
I am just so surprised. You know how many conversations I have with my mom? We're sitting at the table. Mm-hmm. We're just kind of talking, like, how's life, and, you know, whatever. And then something comes up, you know, like my kids will inevitably say something dumb or, like, out of turn or something. Like, why? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. Like, what did you say? Or he'll act stupid or something. And, you know, my mom's like, what is wrong with you? Like, don't do that. Like, chewing on random stuff. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, Mom, I'm so glad I didn't do that as a kid. She goes, oh, my God, you're so stupid as a kid. Whatever, Mom.
No.
I wasn't bad. I wasn't like that. She goes, worse. You were so worse. You know, it was like, it's so funny that I never remember. I never knew any of this stuff that took place. Like, I never did any of the stupid stuff that people do. My mom was like, no, you did it worse. You did really stupid stuff. I just remember setting my garage on fire by accident. I do remember that. I remember setting my garage on fire by accident. That was an accident. You shouldn't leave the matches and the blowtorch so close to the wall. Like, it just shouldn't leave those things there. But, yeah. But, you know, I look at my kid, I'm like, there's no way I did that. When I was 16, there's no way I did that stuff. I was working. I had a car. I know what I was doing. Thank God that he's not doing that stuff, you know. But there's no way I was that bad. My mom thinks otherwise.
Oh, man. See, I thought it was going to be the other way around. I thought she was going to say the grandbabies were worse than you. But she said it was you.
Oh, yeah. My mom used to wish hateful stuff on me. My mom would be like, I wish you had a son just like you. No. Don't put that evil on me. So I like how you said that. Like, my lesson, your blessing. I went through it. I'm going to teach you the lesson so that you don't have to go down that road, which is great.
Exactly.
However, that lesson is what made you who you are. So it's almost like, do we want to really stop them from doing it? Or, like, should we give them the same lesson? Or, like, I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted on that. It's great to teach people, but are we really empowering them if we just take all the struggle away? If life was easy? I mean, are we really doing them a favor? Or is it the struggle that really defines us and really creates who we are?
Well, it's two types of people that I deal with. The first type is people that have never been through anything of the such, and I kind of try to protect them from that. And then there's people that have been through it, but they're trying to find a way out. There's plenty of mistakes that people are going to make in life. So if I can help you out with one or two, then I've done my job. See, You're going to make mistakes. I may tell you, like with our children, we may tell our children not to do this, not to do that. Don't date this person. Don't date that person. They're going to listen to some of it, but maybe they'll pay a little bit more attention to the red flags to prevent themselves from getting too far in, like getting in too deep. So if my job is to tell you whether you want to do it or not, is up to you. So I'm pretty sure that even though with everything I'm telling them what to do and coaching and helping them, they're still going to fall and make mistakes. But, I mean, you don't have to stay there, you know. And 100%. Every story, every struggle doesn't have to be like life or death. And I was literally in some life or death situations. And if somebody was wise enough, they would listen and say, you know what, okay. So now when they face it, they can say, you know, I remember that young lady who told me this. I think I'm going to take that better judgment and fall back a little bit. But you are absolutely right. That struggle, all the struggles, the foster care, the rape, the abuse, the parents on drugs, all of that made me who I am today. The marriage that almost failed, the six children. If I could go back and do some things differently, absolutely, absolutely. But I'm still counting it all as joy, and I'm still grateful because it, in fact, it did make me who I am today, and that is the core why of Set Up Change Up. So I'm appreciative, the good and bad. I'm appreciative of it.
Good. I like that. Awesome. Great answer. So let's talk about those moments.
Thank you.
We need to talk about the moments that define us and the lessons that we learn along the way. What is a transformational moment that happened in your life, which then put you on the path to what you're doing today?
All right. So here's the thing. I was a teenager.
I love when stories start off like that. I just want you to know that. I don't want to really interrupt you, but I'm like, I'm pumped right now because I already kind of know your story. And I'm like, yeah, she's going to get into her story. It's so good. But when you preface it with, so what had happened was, or, okay, here's the thing. Okay, check this out. It's usually what happens when you're like, Mom, don't freak out, but just listen. You're like,
yes, exactly.
Oh my God. Like, yes. I love that you teed it up like that. Okay, look, here's what happened.
Yes, exactly. I'm getting ready to go in. Okay.
Here we go.
So, I'm going in, man. I'm pumped too. I'm feeding off of your energy, man. I tell my students all the time. I apologize. I'm yelling your names, but I'm just so excited, you know. Sean D. Right. I be yelling. Oh, excuse me.
Right.
But no. Here it goes. Here it goes. All right. So I was a kid, just like everybody else. 18. I'm like freedom. I can now do whatever I want to do when I want to do it. Nobody can tell me what to do. So that was already. Whatever, but I did it just like most of us have. So I start dating. Dates didn't work. I literally wanted my first boyfriend to be my husband and for us to have kids and live happily ever after. What a Disney painted picture of a princess and a prince. It's not happening like that. So after a few guys, you know, I moved out of town, decided to change my life around. I said, you know, let me get somebody older. I date this guy. We were hitting it off. We moved kind of fast. Well, he goes, let me show you to my family. Let me show you to my cousin. So I'm thinking, wow, no guy has ever done that to me before. So it has to be getting serious, and he has to like me for him to bring me around his family. Well, we go and meet him, and he's like, do you have any sisters? And I'm like, no, not your age. So he's like, do you have a friend? I say, yeah. So we hooked up a small party with just the four of us. It was like a double date. We're drinking, we're smoking, we're just having a good time. Next thing you know, after a half can of beer, I passed out. When I passed out, I was after a while I gained consciousness, and his cousin, quote unquote cousin, was raping me. Okay.
Wow.
I didn't know what was going on. I was discombobulated. I go looking for my friend. I go looking for my boyfriend. They're in another room together, and she's under the covers. She was clothed. He was sitting beside the bed, and I pull him to the bathroom. I tell him what happens, and he just was looking like, what do you want me to do? So he takes them home. I pass out again. Now, this, it started at 7 a.m. I didn't gain full consciousness until about 12 a.m. that next day. That's how out I was. I don't even know how I was able to get up for that short amount of time. So I go to take my friend home, and then she says, you know what, Tierra, you were set up. She says, you were set up. And I'm like, I was just trying to piece everything together. So I went into depression. I stayed at home, called off work. I said, I'm in a crisis. And I wasn't going to say anything. My mom said, she finally got it out of me. She called me from Ohio, and she said, you need to go and get the police involved, and you need to get a rape kit done. I went. I got the AIDS test. Everything came back negative, but I found out that I had HPV. When the police was questioning me and questioning everybody, I found out that was not his cousin. That was a friend of his. The names were fake. Everything was just fake. And so, you know, he did his time. He did some time in jail. But that's what shook me, because when they said, I'm only a teenager, you mean to tell me now that my cells are turning into cancer? They said, yes, ma'am. We have to monitor you every 3 months. We have to make sure that your cells don't, you know, we have to make sure that we keep an eye on your cells. But you have it. It's irreversible. So my dreams of wanting a kid and a family and a marriage, I'm like, no man's going to want me. No man's going to want me from a mistake from another man. But long story short, I don't have HPV anymore. I do not have cancerous cells anymore. I got married while I had the diagnosis. I got married, and we have six children, six beautiful, healthy children. And so I couldn't keep all of that to myself. So I made it my mission to create something from this and to reach the masses and tell people it doesn't matter what you go through. You cannot stop everything. You got dreams, you have goals, you have to keep it moving no matter what you go through. If you got to cry, cry. You got to step back for a second, step back for a second. But whatever you do, don't quit.
How did it just go away? Is that like, is there like a cure for it, or like, how does that happen?
You know, they can't even tell me how it happened, but because of my spiritual beliefs, I believe that's how it happened. There's no other way. And another thing in the natural is I believe that my husband, he was such a great guy. See, he was there after when I was waking up with nightmares and everything. He kept my mind, he kept the energy so good around us. He kept my mind away from the sickness. So I was in a happy state. And then I was singing and touring with bands, and I never really looked at that. I had my moments, but I never really looked at myself as a cancer patient. But he really helped me, my husband, Gregory Curry. He really helped me to keep my mind straight, and I think all of that together is what made it go away. I didn't accept it.
I firmly believe that. Yeah, I firmly believe positivity and, yeah,
absolutely.
100%. Absolutely. Well, how do you use it, though? I mean, just by telling your story, I mean, yeah, that's I mean, it works, right? But how do you take your why and take your transformational moment, how do you use that to elevate the world around you?
To elevate people around me? Well, the thing is that everybody believes that no situation is worse than theirs, no struggle like yeah, you
right.
might struggle, but I got this going on. No,
mm-hmm.
Your struggle may not be that important to me. My struggle may not be. It may be a piece of cake for you to get through something like that, but it's all important to us. So you put that in a pot and you label it struggles. You label it a struggle, hardship, whatever name you want to throw on it. It's bad. And it's up to you.
Yep.
You have to do something with it. You can let it take you, or you can let it make you. Either way,
yep.
Something is going to transpire.
I like it. I like that a lot. There's sometimes where somebody will say something. I mean, just because of my military background and the places that I've seen, the things that I've seen,
mm-hmm.
when somebody complains about something, I find it real hard to empathize with them. It's one of my downfalls.
Yeah.
you know, if somebody loses a child, I'm like, okay, I'm empathetic because I have four. If somebody has cancer, if somebody's, you know, whatever, but it's like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to be late to this thing. And you're like, okay, like, I guess, you know, like their world is shattering because they're about to be late, or this person doesn't like me. And I'm like, who cares? There's 7 billion people in the world. You're worried about that one person.
Yeah.
They unfriended me from social media.
Oh, man.
So what? Like, who cares? I don't know. Maybe the military hurt me. Maybe it helped me. I have no idea. But being over there and being deployed to the Middle East and doing different things, and I just find it super hard to complain.
Yes.
So that's kind of my downfall, yes. You know, and I really wanted to mention that because I don't believe that anything happens by chance. I believe that everything happens for a reason. You and I were supposed to meet for whatever reason will come. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's this is what we're supposed to meet for. We were at an event back in Chicago back in May. So that was pretty cool. But I what can I learn from this? Is really like every situation that happens, what can I learn from it?
Mm-hmm.
Everything that happens to you has a meaning, and you are the only person that can assign meaning to that. So if this person unfriending you from social media, is that meant to hurt you or harm you? Only you can decide that. And so I like where you were talking about my lesson. That's going to be my takeaway from this show. My lesson, your blessing. I've gone through this stuff. I've already been down that road. I've already taken that tour, and I've already got the T-shirt to prove it. I need you to not do that, right? Like you're parenting your kids. Like, don't do that because I know it's going to happen. Trust me because I know. I've seen it. Kids are like, oh, well, whatever. You're wrong. But how you elevate somebody because of what has happened to you, it's like sexual assault advocates, you know, for victim advocates. They are victim advocates because they were probably once a victim.
Yeah.
You know, people who were suicidal, who try to take their life, now have a story to tell, and they tell it at suicide awareness events.
Correct.
So
correct.
You having your story, you know, you use it in a very beautiful way, and it needs to be told.
Thank you. Yeah, Sean, I'm kind of like you on that. I've never went through military, obviously, but I've been through some things, hard things that children and even adults should not have had to go through. And yep. I'm a firm believer in you cannot let something that someone else did keep you from living your greatest life. What kind of gets on my nerves is, and I know this is sensitive to some people, but they might say, well, I grew up without a father. If my father was there, I wouldn't be such a bad father. No, you should have took that lesson and said, you know what? Because my father was bad, I'm going to be the greatest dad I can be. I'm going to work. I'm going to get my business. I'm going to do what I have to do to provide for my family. I'm going to be a businessman. And the same thing goes for women. You know, I wasn't taught this or that. Okay, you weren't. You were a child. Now you're an adult. So are you going to be 60 years old saying the same thing if my parents were here, if I had it better growing up? No. You got to take responsibility for yourself, and that's how you elevate. You use that stuff as stepping stones to get where you're trying to go. It makes your skin tougher.
I love it. I love that. Yep, I believe in that so much.
Yeah.
Well said.
I mean, yeah.
So the people that you work with as a certified life coach, what are they experiencing and how do you help them?
Oh, man, I have people trying to create lavender farms, people that wanted to know how to.
A what?
Yeah.
Like an farm. Actual flower, like lavender, like. No, I don't want to raise corn in a farm. I just want lavender.
A lavender farm. Let me tell you, I had no idea about lavender till I started working with this client. But now I know so much about it. So I
that's
literally
so awesome.
Resource. Yeah, like Sean, they have lavender festivals where everything is lavender. Lavender beer,
oh
lavender
gosh.
Honey, lavender food.
Oh
every
my
part of the
gosh.
Lavender stem can be used. Every part of it. But she's going to use that to donate to, you know, to people in need. And I think it's an awesome idea. So whether it's legal matters, being a better person, or starting up a business, I become a tool, even ghostwriting. I become a tool of resource for them, and I help
wow.
take some of the burden. I help take some of the burden off of them. And even with her great idea with the farm, there's things that she didn't know that she could do until I was able to further research. And I've reached
right.
out to other farm owners and everything. So they go through different things, and I'm just there to help them along the way. I hold them accountable. I assign homework. I do checkups, follow-ups, and I also help them to research as well. So there's no excuse.
That's very, very cool. I will go the other extreme.
Okay.
Lavender farm and lavender festivals.
Mm-hmm.
My mom currently lives in a town near Port Huron, Michigan. And every year they have a bologna festival.
Oh, wow.
Fried bologna, baked bologna, bologna and egg, bologna fried sandwich. Like, I've had so many different types of bologna. Turkey bologna, beef bologna, mechanically separated chicken bologna. Like, I'm telling y'all, I'm not even joking. They have games that they play with these kids. Bologna toss. You have to roll a ring of bologna as far as you can. Kids get prizes. They crown a bologna king and queen.
Oh, wow.
And they have outhouse races. Like, they take it outhouse and put it on wheels and then push it around in a race.
Oh, wow.
And do outhouse races. I'm not even joking. In this farming community in farmland, nowhere, USA, Michigan. So when I heard, like, Lavender Festival, I was like, interesting. I've been to Apples and, you know, Cherry Festival. Mm-hmm. Here in North Carolina, where I'm at in North Carolina, they have a pickle festival. Because Mont Olive
wow.
pickles, I didn't even realize this. And I don't know. I guess I don't pay attention, which is kind of bad. But so you buy pickles, right? Everybody
yeah.
pretty much buys pickles. You know, you buy pickles. You know, kosher pickle,
yeah.
whatever. If you look at the jar, it might be Mount Olive pickles. And Mount Olive is like 20 minutes away from me, where a humongous pickle factory sits. And they have a pickle festival every year.
That's what I have in my cabinet right now, Mount Olive. So maybe that's a sign.
No way! That's awesome!
Yeah,
packaged and
it's right in my
created in North Carolina. I love those festivals, by the way. I think they're absolutely amazing.
Yeah, they have it's so much lavender can do, from therapy to eating. They have lavender balls you can put in the dryer to help dry your clothes
yep.
faster. All kind of
oh,
stuff,
yeah.
man. It's really cool.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Talk to me about Fed Up, Change Up. What's the premise behind? Man, I get it. You know, if you're fed up, you got to change. You know, we talked about this before, but let the listeners know, for those that are listening right now, if you're fed up, you need to change up. But what does that mean, though?
So imagine your friend. He's dating this new girl, and you do not like her. You see that she's flirtatious with everybody. She's grabbing numbers behind his back. He's working like a slave, and she's sitting on her rump ropes all day. You just don't like her. Like, she's not adding value to your friend's life. And you tell your friend, let's just call him Jim. Jim, man, I don't know about her, man. She's not doing anything. She's not adding value to your life. Jim's going to be like, yeah, well, you know. He's going to go home. He's going to continue to make love to her. He's going to continue taking her to shopping sprees, turning his checks over to her, and probably eventually marry her. But right before they get married, Jim decides, you know what? this girl, she is costing me way too much of my time, money, resources, and she doesn't really believe in what I do. I got to leave her, so I'm gone. Meanwhile, you've been trying to preach this to Jim for the last 2 and 3 years. So when he got fed up, that's when he changed. So my thing is, you can talk to somebody till they are blue in the face, but if they really want the change, they have to change within themselves. It starts with you, not your mom, dad, friends, spouse. If the change starts with you. And that's how I got it. I would talk on the phone to my friend every weekend. She would call me 6 hours on the phone. I think he's doing this. I think he's doing that. And I would pour from my heart for 6 hours. I would tell her stuff that I would tell my own daughter. She went back. She stayed with him every time. And I said, you know what? I can't keep doing this because I could be doing other things with my time. She's not going to change until she had enough. And she finally did. So that goes with everything. You put a post up right now. Oh, I'm going to do a free show. Y'all can, you know, I'm going to be giving away this and that. Let you mention price. People going to start bagging up, like, yeah. At first they were so down and pumped and ready to go, but they weren't serious about it. When they are, they'll buy your book, no BS. They'll sign up with you, but they have to be ready to change. They have to be fed up.
So can't you sell them into indie programs? And I don't think they necessarily have to be that's great that they are. But isn't that your job to get them to be fed up? Or are you saying that your target market are people who are really, really at the end of their rope? Like, I have to, like, this has to happen. I cannot go the way that my life is going.
My preference is to deal with people that are serious about their future. I have different programs, like for book writers and those who need 8-week coaching. You may not need that. You may need a week with me. You may need 2 weeks. You may just need a one-on-one. So I break the levels down. But really, I prefer to deal with people. Like, you have to have something for me to work with. It has to be some type of drive going on, because my job is not to try to pump you up. Like, I have to have something initially to work with. So everybody is not my assignment. I accept that. I met a young lady. She was ready to go. She said she's young. And I said, okay, let me take your number. Well, I called her. She told me she is fine with working at the gas station. She has no desire to be anything because she doesn't know what she wants to be. Of course, I said, well, let me try to help you to figure that out. And she said, no, I'm just fine. Like my mom said, I just want to get a 401k and retire, and, you know, I'll be working here at the gas station. It was dead. It was nothing I could do. But you give me somebody that says, I don't know exactly what I want to be, but I know I have a purpose. I know it's something. Give me that before you give me nothing.
Got it. You know, I guess that they would call those the hot leads, right? The hot leads, like, oh, God, like, I need to work with you. Like, oh, my God. And they're like, it's a yes even before you even tell them what you're going to be selling them, you know? That's great.
Yeah.
But I like how you kind of went in deeper. They may not even know what they want, but they do know one thing. They're fed up with the way their life is going. They have no idea if that program is even going to work. Your program might not even be solving their problem. They don't even know what their problem is. They just know that they're fed up. So as a life coach, it is your job, not UTR. Well, I guess UTR, but I'm saying everybody listening, it is absolutely your job to find out how you can change them and how you can solve their problem. Yeah, I get it. Call it what you want, hot leads, whatever. But I'm with you. I would much rather work with somebody who's like, I have no idea what the hell I'm going to do, but I know I need something. Mm-hmm. Let's talk. Let's have a 30-minute conversation. Let's pull out some passions. You know, whatever. Let's do like a month worth of just life coaching in general. Couldn't have been nothing but like, I don't know if I want to own a business or go to college, or do I join the military, or I don't know. Do I just move back in with my mom? Like, I don't know. So should I switch cell phone carriers? Like, like, what am I doing with my life? You know, I would love to work with people like that because they're just so open to change and they just know, like, listen, I'm fed up. I hate where my life is going. I have no idea what I want to do with life, but I know there's a burning inside my heart and in my soul, and I need to do something. I would love to work with those people. I'm with you.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's too much work to actually go into their whole life and figure it out. But if you're ready for a change, you know, I'm your girl. Oftentimes, I run into people who was just like myself. They have all of these great ideas, but they don't know where to start. So my job, okay, pre-assessment. Pre-assessment is like what I did with the young lady at the gas station. That's like a 15 to 20-minute conversation. From that pre-assessment, I know already if I can or cannot help the person. If they say, cool, I want to go ahead, I want you to mentor me, life coach me, whatever, I want you to help me, all right, we do an assessment. That's the very first class is an assessment. Sometimes people have so many things, and then they overwhelm themselves. Like, for instance, with a book writing, a lot of my clients want to write books. They think it's this big task. Oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this or that. They've already overwhelmed themselves and exhausted themselves before even writing one word down. So my job is to get them to focus, and I organize things for them, what comes first and second. Don't overwhelm yourself. If you got to put the pen down for a second and come back, do it. But just don't stop. Just don't quit. And I get it, you know. Everybody wants to be great, and there's a lot of things we can do nowadays with the technology and the advancement and the evolvement of the world. So it's just you have to put things in order, or you'll never get you'll never get anything done. It's like what you say, if you try to speak to everyone, you'll speak to no one. It's the same concept.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. If you try to hit everybody, then you're going to hit no one. I read this. Can't remember where I heard this. And I always try to remember. I guess I could Google it. But they said a third of your audience, people in general, population, will always hate you no matter what you do. You cannot please them. No matter what you do, you will always be the bad person. A third of your audience is like, I don't know. I kind of like it, but I'm not really sure. Then there's a third of your audience that are like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. Please give me more. And that's with anything. A third of the audience loves Nike. A third of the audience is like, I don't care every way. A third of the audience is like, screw Nike. A third of the audience hate Fords or Chevys or Dodge. A third of the audience is like, yeah, it's got good gas mileage. If it looks pretty good, I'll probably buy it. And a third's like, oh, my God, Ford, yeah. Like, it's just, you can use that for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And how I heard it was that forget the third that hate you, spend zero time on them. That's not your market. That's not your audience. They'll spend any time on them changing their minds or proving your point or nothing. Zero time at all. The third that you need to be concerned about and spend the most amount of time with is the ones that are on the fence. Those are the ones you need to spend the most amount of time with. And I was like, I would think it'd be the ones that are like, I love you, I love you, I love you, right? And the reasoning that they said was that you already have fans. You already have a following. Just keep on doing what you're doing. But your message is for those who are on the fence, because some of your hot leads, some of your, oh my God, Tiara, I love you, like you're amazing, probably still won't even buy from you, because it's probably some friends or your mom or whatever going to buy from you. It's the people that are on the fence that you condition them to change their mind because they're kind of fed up, right? And you need to change up and get them to realize that they need you, because they're kind of on the fence already. Like, man, I'm like super done. Like, I don't know if I want to quit my job. I just mentored a guy the other day. He'd been working like 70 hours a week. Something like 12s, like 5 days a week. Dude's on like 12-hour shifts, like 60 hours. This dude's working.
Good.
Young family, got a baby. He's like, I can't keep doing this, man. I can't keep doing this. Like, then don't. But I need a job. Does your wife work? Yeah. Well, then what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go down to one income, you suck for a while, eat some ramen, you know, like, find another job. Mm-hmm. It's like, go drive for Uber. If you don't, okay, listen, if you don't have a job out there, listeners, if you don't have a job, just go drive for Uber. Like, you have a car. Like, if anything, the money that you get from Uber could pay your car payment, if anything.
Yeah.
It's the people that you meet that should be your focus. Because let's say that you are a rapper, or you are a business owner, or you are a podcaster, or what would be a great example? Some kind of a salesman, like a literal, let's say you're in an MLM. Do you know how many people get into the back of your car that could be a potential client as an Uber driver?
Mm-hmm.
If you got a podcast, like, hey, do you listen to podcasts? Yeah, I do. Awesome. Have you heard mine? If I was a cab driver, if I was Uber, I'd be like, yo, what's happening? Where are you going? Cool. Awesome. Hey, are you a podcast? Do you listen to podcasts? No, I don't. I'm like, oh, why not? Or I'd be like, yeah, I do. I'm like, awesome. Have you heard Life Transformation Radio? I haven't. Awesome. Let me turn it on for you. I'd be playing my own podcast in my own car, you know?
And why not? That's a mastermind thinking. That's the mastermind thinking right there. So you do what you have to do, and you can use it to the best of your ability. One of my clients, he works at Mattress Farm on the side, and I tell him, okay, take your books in there. You'll know when it's time to present it to certain clients, and that's what he did. He started talking about it, and he has a donation. And there's a guy that does Uber. He makes so much money per year, six figures.
Yep.
From doing Uber. Uber came to his house and did an interview to see how he does it. So he's mixed in his business of photography with that. So he said every person that sits there behind in his car is a potential client. He gives them his card, he sparks up conversation, builds up rapport. Okay, next, when can we set up a time for you to shoot me? On camera, not with a gun.
There you go. There you go. See?
And he pulls in so much money from it. So that's, if you have to work, you're not less of a person if you have to get a job. You can look at it like, oh, I got to go in every day to pay my bills. Or you can look at it like, you know what? My job is my number one investor right now. Let it invest in your business while keeping your bills taken care of.
I love it. Yep. I love that. You know, so many people are searching for something, and they're getting fed up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a better question would be, where do I find the fed up people?
Mm.
Where do they hang out? Where do the fed up people, are they Googling something? You know, if you're trying to learn something, you know, like if you're fed up, what is your behavior? What is the behavior that you're exhibiting to get rid of that problem? And then,
mm-hmm.
and then they find you.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
So let's do this. Let's do a shameless plug. I want you to plug your programs, products, services, books, whatever it is that you want the audience to know or to do. Shameless plug moment. Go.
Shameless plug. Well, I have two books, Fed Up, Change Up. Of course, that's the beginning. Talks about the relationships and how I finally met Mr. Right. Second book, me and my husband just released. It's called Changed Up, Now What? So what do you do after the change? Those are the main two things. And, of course, I am a life coach, so I help people to get their lives on track. And I am also a speaker. I do events. Any events, whatever your mission is, my job is to help you execute it through my message. So you can find out anything that you need. You can find me at www.fedupchangeup.com. Fedupchangeup.com is where you can find me. Social media, Tierra Curry, Curry, on Facebook and Instagram. LinkedIn as well.
Love it. Your books, they are available on Amazon?
They are. They are available on Amazon. If you type in my name, Tierra, T-E-A-I-R-A, Curry, it should come up. You can also type in Fed Up, Change Up, and that'll show you both of my books. So, yeah, that's where you can go. And there's also a link on my website that shows you, it directly takes you to Amazon, too.
Perfect. Perfect. So let's do this. Give us one nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today.
All right. Break the cycle. It's simple. You have to break the cycle. You have to get to the point to where you're tired of being in the same spot that you were last year, 10 years ago, 5 years. Break the cycle. You've seen your mom go through it, your dad, your grandparents, your friends. Be that example, okay? Don't be afraid to invest in yourself. Find a mentor. If you can't afford a mentor, you can't get a self-help book or whatever, go to the library. Look, I want you to take what you have now, whatever it is that you have, and use it. Find out how you can use it to better yourself. And if you're into helping others, what do you have now that you can use to help someone else? See, it doesn't always take big things. You can work with small things, and you can do small things in a big way. I have a show. Every Wednesday, I have a motivational show that I do where I bring on another guest on Facebook at 7:15 Eastern Standard Time. I bring them on every week. Do I have huge Paramount picture cameras in my house? No, I do not, not at this moment. But I use my camera, and I go on. And the messages and responses are phenomenal from people that have been transformed from a message. So that's my biggest message. Break the cycle. If you're tired of it and you're truly ready for a change, you change it and use what you have to the best of your ability. Use excellence.
Nailed it. Love
it. Thank you.
Love it. Tiara, I want to thank you so much for being an amazing guest on Life Transformation Radio. This was absolutely a phenomenal conversation.
Thank you so much, Sean, for having me. Sean B., you are excellent. You are wonderful. You're always there when I call, and you have a wonderful show. And, you know, I look forward to speaking beside you again pretty soon.
Oh, for sure. For sure. That was so fun. That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, an amazing guest who is impacting the world around her in a very big way. If you're fed up and you're ready to change, it is time now to change up. Connect with Tiara Curry at fedupchangeup.com. Fedupchangeup.com. Go to Instagram. The links are right there inside the show notes, the Instagram, the Facebook. Check it out. Connect with her. She is absolutely brilliant and is changing lives everywhere she goes. And with that, I want you to know, and I want you to live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.